Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from, and to all our traditional interests, the beautiful country of ours, welcome Black, National Talk Black, have your saying, yarn up strong, you mob. Going to jump straight in it. Inequity in genomic health for Indigenous Australians. We're going to catch up with yarn now, Professor Alex Brown, Australian Alliance for Indigenous Genomics Lead, Professor Indigenous Genomics at the Telethon Kids Institute and the ANU. And so on the line, we have Professor Alex Brown. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning. How are things?
All good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So you're based down in Canberra?
No, actually based on Kaurna Country in Adelaide.
Okay,
have
beautiful.
Been here for the last 11 years.
All right, beautiful. Well, big shout out to the TOs down that way. Thank you. So inequity you. In genomic health for Indigenous Australians. So talk us through this platform, please.
Yeah, well, the sort of last 10 years has been growing efforts right around the world to understand how to actually be able to tell the story of people's genes and what it means for their health and well-being. But up until now, it really hasn't involved Indigenous people from around the globe.
It hasn't involved Indigenous people?
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
Because communities have been very, you know, anxious about it, nervous, watching and waiting, and trying to make sure that Indigenous people could make their own choices, whether or not they choose to engage with this sort of emerging field of technology and biomedical science.
But sure,
the last few years, that's changed, and it's time for Indigenous people to be brought to the table and to decide their own destiny, and that's the work we're trying to do.
And when you say decide, Professor, some First Nation people may not choose to be a part of it. It could be cultural reasons.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's the important work to be done here, is to work out where communities are at and if they do want to involve themselves in it, what are the rules and terms of engagement for their activities?
And can you explain to our listeners, as well as myself, genomic health? Just paint that picture, please.
Yeah, so the picture there is deep within our cells is really the instruction manual that tells our body how to grow and build and also can be associated with certain individuals developing disease. So what genomic medicine is being able to read your genetic code, your instruction manual, and work out a whole raft of things like, are you more prone to develop a particular disease?
Okay.
What sort of medicines are safe for you to take? What sort of medicines are most likely to be able to treat conditions that you might have.
So it's really about... You could say a manual book of an individual.
Yeah, every individual have their own differences. We're all unique in our own way. We inherit our genetic story from our parents, but there are differences between every single individual, and understanding those differences and how it impacts on health and your well-being is what genomic medicine is all about.
Okay. And so how long has the medical world been using genomic?
Well, the Human Genome Project took 20 years to be able to decipher this instruction manual, this code housed within your DNA. It's been the last sort of 5 years or so they've been able to apply that in a range of medical conditions.
Sure.
The first and most often used is to be able to diagnose usually children that might be suffering from a rare disease that's caused by their genes.
Okay.
Their instruction manuals has some errors in there, which leads to them developing a particular condition. And increasingly, it's now being used in the context of cancer treatment.
Yes.
Where you can get the genetic code of the person and of the tumour or cancer that they may be suffering from and work out the right treatment. So those things are happening now, but the future looks very much like genomic medicine will be an incredibly important part of understanding how to diagnose people,
sure,
but also how to treat them and hopefully to prevent disease in the first place. That's where it's heading.
So I suppose it's a powerful tool as well when we're talking about inheriting disease, if it's in the genes as such.
Yeah, correct. But, you know, inherited or genes don't account for the whole story. They're
okay.
an important part of it.
Sure.
But there are also things in the environment, the exposures that we experience, whether that be too much sunlight or smoking or bad diets, etc.
Okay.
They play an important role as well. So understanding the genetic story and how the environment influences that is an important part of the genomic medicine story as well.
So, Professor Alex, just going back to the opening of the conversation, so First Nation people weren't at the table in genomic health, is that right? You there, Professor? Oh, I lost Professor Alex. Professor Alex, we'll try and get him back. That's Professor Alex Brown, Australian Alliance for Indigenous Genomics lead, Professor Indigenous Genomics at the Telethon Kids Institute and the ANU. And we're talking about inequity in genomic health for Indigenous Australians. And Murray was saying genomics, but it's genomics. So I stand corrected. I think that's Professor right now. Professor Alex, you there?
Yeah, sorry, lost you.
All good. So I was just saying, in regard to opening our conversation, I think you opened up with First Nation people weren't at the table with genomic health. Is that the case? Now we are, yes?
Yes, now we are. And the work that we're doing is trying to bring together Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people from around the country and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community control services to actually work through how we could be involved in this if we choose.
Sure.
How do we develop our awareness and understanding about what genomics is and how do we utilise it as a tool for the health and well-being of our communities and what the rules for that might look like.
Okay, fantastic. When having the First Nation people at the table, could I ask, would there be First Nation doctors at the table?
Yeah, well, there are. We're growing
slowly. Good.
I was, you know, one of the first 10 or so Indigenous doctors in the country, and now we've got a lot more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people studying in medicine.
Yes.
That's an important part of it, but we've also got a whole raft of Aboriginal allied health professionals. We've got Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses.
Good.
We've got Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people leading policy and health services right around the country. So we've got lots of people who have expertise that we need to tap into.
Exactly.
And we want to understand how to make this work for us, our way.
Fantastic. Our way. I love that. Professor Alex, thank you for the yarn. Look, all the best. Please do keep in touch. And we'll yarn soon, my friend.
All right, mate. Thanks very much for your time.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Professor Alex Brown, as I said, Australian Alliance for Indigenous Genomics Health lead and Professor Indigenous Genomics at the Telethon Kids Institute and the ANU. And talking about inequity at genomic health for Indigenous Australians. So First Nation people are at the table, which they have not been. And we're talking about First Nation practitioners, doctors as well, at the table as well in regard to that discussion, which is fantastic. Black on Black, can't beat that. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, yarning with the ball. You're on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong.
gotta teach them so they know now.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
One generation from a warrior, one generation from a warrior, one generation from a warrior, that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior, that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior, one generation from a warrior, one generation from a warrior, that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior,
that's what we are. Our fathers were warriors, their fathers before them. But though we're now civilized, our hearts are not far from them. 'Cause we're
one generation from a warrior,
one generation from a warrior,
one generation from a warrior,
that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior,
yes, that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior,
from a warrior,
one generation from a warrior,
that's what we are.
One generation from
ooh,
a
yeah,
warrior,
yes, that's what we are. Now that we know where our people come from, we found our identity, our spirit lives on and on.
Nation beat got a rubber dub style. And worry about me for no while. Listen to the beat, to the rhyme, to the rhythm. We gon' make you jump, kakar, now you get him. To kick a raga in a natty vibration. We are the children of the next generation. Coming to you with a positive style. All same clear, I'm the warrior, but me for no while.
One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior,
that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior,
that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior,
that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior,
yes, that's what we are. Our fathers were warriors, their fathers before them. But though we're not civilized, our hearts are not far from them.
'Cause we're one generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Yes, that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
One generation from
ooh,
a
yes,
warrior.
That's what we are.
Say no, we know this, the loving and the memory is the no, because you can't resist, because you know you're loving and I'm really covered. It's all they become, if it comes. No, because you know it's giving up from the back. Insisting in the island styles. Only while all them are fun, all us and our people fun. You love when you just need that them.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bummer Bib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now Australian Catholic University have set up a beautiful program, away from base, AFB, away from base program. And look, it's a great study mode in which Indigenous students are well supported with tutors to study online and then have intensive blocks on campus twice per semester, all paid for, accommodation, flights, meals, etc. Students can study a range of courses, including teaching, midwifery, and businesses. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with a student, Courtney Palashuma, her third year of studying midwifery, and got her in the studio with me. And a very good morning, Courtney. How are you, sister?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Trev.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, my name's Courtney. My maiden name's Shepherd. So we're from Mareeba. So I'm Mullaridgee mob. Got a grandma from Yiriganji mob, Kokomini tribe, and also South Sea Islander.
Footprint everywhere, sister.
That's it. Family everywhere.
And that's how we run. Beautiful. Fantastic. Congratulations. Third year studying, midwifery. And tell us about this journey, how long you've been doing it.
Yeah, so I got into midwifery. This is my third year. So wanted to go back into midwifery after I had my own kids and had both like negative and positive experiences. Mm. Trying to find a uni that would kind of be the right fit for me with my family life and come across ACU.
Mm, fantastic. Here you are doing your study. So when you're saying after being a parent, you weren't looking at this before being a parent.
No, it's something that has come later in life. I've kind of always just worked to get that paycheck and, you know, I never found something that I was passionate about and that I wanted to do as a career.
Okay.
So once I had my kids and I kind of had that experience and realised how beautiful and amazing, like, you know, giving birth is and bringing new life into the world. And also having that experience where I didn't feel like I was supported when I had my first child and I was kind of out there and no one was kind of there as a support. I kind of wanted to step into that role to be there for the women and their families.
Yes.
And to make that a really nice, positive experience.
All right. So to our listeners that they don't know what a midwife is, explain the role.
So a midwife is there as an advocate for, you know, through antenatal labour and postnatally for the woman and her family, whoever she, you know, her support network is.
So you do home visits after the baby's born and mother goes home with the child?
Yeah, so it depends on the style of care that you're doing. So if you're at the hospital, obviously it's hospital care. If you're in the MGP program, which is the midwifery group practice, they do home visits out into the community. So that's a bit more relaxed. You have a bit more time to build relationships with women and their families.
Fantastic. So this is your third year. How long is the midwifery course?
So I'm doing a direct entry course and it's 3 years from to finish. That's, you know.
So this is your last year.
This is my last year. Fingers crossed that, you know, semester two, I passed with flying colours.
So. Oh, good. And so with that, they also give you placements. Have you worked out in the field?
Yeah. So every semester we do like a block placement. So I've done a majority in Cairns at the hospital. Okay. And I've also done a really beautiful placement in Mareeba with their MGP led style at the hospital.
And in Mareeba, your hometown,
yeah.
But also mum's a nurse.
Yeah, my mum's a nurse. She's been a nurse for going on about 40-plus years.
Yes. Big shout-out, mum. Mum's name is?
Karen Shepherd.
Karen Shepherd, big shout-out, sister. Keep doing what you're doing. And your lovely daughter following your footsteps, so to speak.
Yeah, and it was lovely to be able to go to work with my mum. Going back 20 years, I would never have thought that I'd be working with my mum, you know. So it was just that whole experience, you know.
Give me goosebumps. Yeah. That's beautiful. So with your placement there, and then you come to your end of your third year, do you have a choice where you get placed?
We can give preferences on where we go. Cairns is the easiest for me just because of family and
you live in here, kids at school and what have you.
Yep, day to day. So.
But mum would love to see you up in Mareeba.
Yes, and they've been trying really hard to get me back into Mareeba and, you know, it's a never say never thing. So.
Okay. Well, let me ask that question. If you went Mareeba, it's not a long drive. Would you commute?
Yeah, I think the commute would probably be the way to go. Mum lives there, so free accommodation and stuff like that.
Oh, if you need to stay there
for a couple of days.
And, yeah, sure.
You know, they do have quarters there where you can stay as well.
Okay,
so.
Yes. All right, fantastic. So when you're doing this course, midwifery, First Nation woman you are, a lot of First Nation students?
So when I started 3 years ago, we came as a cohort of 10 students. Got, you know, sisters from everywhere, Torres Strait, Central Coast, you know, New South Wales. They fly us in, fly us out.
Good.
So
good, good, good. Now, midwifery can be a male?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I asked you cautiously. Yeah. I wasn't sure, but they can be.
There are a few.
They're male nurses.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, if that's their preference that they want to go into. And I mean, everyone's professional in their field. So, you know, they're going in there for a reason, the same as females do. So.
Yeah, good. Okay, fantastic. So when you look at it, I mean, hats off to you, my sister, because you're studying and your mother.
Yeah.
You got your other half who's working and you got children putting in the school and what have you. So you're virtually operating on a one wage at the moment.
Yeah, pretty much. While I'm doing full-time study, I'm a stay-at-home mum. All my kids are into sport, so they're, you know, doing sport when they're not at school. So
sure, a bit of a struggle street. I mean, this day and age, you've got to have two people work in order to survive, could say.
The budget's very tight. Put it that way. Especially having that big family, you know, having five kids still at home and another one away. So
when you are placed, there's the full-time job. At a professional level, there's two pay packets now, which looks good for the future.
Yeah, well, when we're at uni as a full-time student, the placement is unpaid placement. So it's not until we start our grad year next year that we actually get some money coming in.
Yeah,
so
gotcha.
It's a very hard degree, but, you know, it's really worthwhile.
So you say to your lovely husband and your children, bear with me. There's greener pastures down the track.
Yeah, sure. But like before I started, we actually had a family meeting where I said to the kids and my hubby, are we all on board? Because this is a big commitment. There's a lot of time, a lot of effort. Yeah. Mum's going to have to go away. You know, there's residential blocks. So I have to follow women. So it's a big commitment.
And look, can I say that the family meeting, very important. And a lot of our mob need to do that. And we're going to have discussions of our future, where we're going, the vehicles we're using in regard to job, you know, job vehicles, you know, and life itself, and kids playing sport and being tight with our money, you know, pizzas and takeaways and things like that, going out for dinner, going down to Townsville, watching North Queensland Cowboys play or something to that effect. All the entertainment sort of puts on hold. But when you start working, then we can start living a comfortable life, you could say.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, it's this little bit of hard work and commitment is going to pay off, you know, and it's not just for me and my family. It's also, you know, we're representing mob.
Exactly.
We're, you know, it's bigger than the family unit.
Exactly. And my sister, we are screaming out for black successes in this country and not only on the football field. And the fact that you're about to become a midwife, you know, there's a profession, a black woman at that, and it just paves the way for other young brothers and sisters that you can do this course, you can do this opportunity as well.
That's it, most definitely. Like, that's, you know, we're there to show these kids that, you know, we never thought we were smart enough when we left school to, you know, go to university. And, you know, 40 years later, here I am at university,
that's
exactly. Life experience, and now we're on the other side.
And you're enjoying the journey. I'm picking that up, Courtney.
Yeah, I love it. You know, it's very supportive. Like, there's a lot of supportive midwives, our lecturers, you know. Michelle Koziak, who actually started the Away From Base program, is Indigenous midwife, nurse, and she's so passionate about what she's doing. And, you know, it's just that support that comes through.
So there's a message there for all our brothers and sisters out there. And no matter what age, you left school, what have you, or straight after school, you can go into university, further education, and support is what I'm picking up, is unbelievable. Yeah. It is fantastic, is it not?
Yeah, ACU were great. Like, when we had our orientation week, we went down to the Indigenous unit in Brisbane, Wimala. We had a yarning circle. We had, you know, aunties and uncles come there to do welcome to country. We had, you know, big yarning circles with our lecturers. There was just so much support. You can go in there, you know, don't bring your food. You got feed there, you know, everything's there. You've got moral support. You've got anything you need, pretty much, you've got someone there to give you a hand.
And then there's a national organisation, CATSANAM, Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives. So when you qualify, you become a member of that automatically, or how's that work?
Well, I'm already a member as a student, so I get to, you know, see the posts and see what's happening on that. In that field. Like,
so there's a support arm at a national level for you as a midwife.
Yeah, and it's great. Like, they do Zoom panels. There's, you know, meetings with people, doctors, nurses, midwives, you know, just all working in that space of Indigenous health. And, you know, it's inspirational, I suppose, that you've got, you know, those role models that have come before that, you know.
Yes. So there'll be conversations on that platform with black doctors and black nurses.
Yeah.
And black midwives.
Yes.
In regard to supporting you as a student.
Yeah, there's like support posts. There's like, you know, if there's CATSNM conferences, scholarships, things like that, events that are happening like close to you. Also, like if your experiences in the workplace, how you deal with things, like, you know, if there's any
personal level,
budgeting,
all the above. Yeah, fantastic. Well, today, Marie, but tomorrow, the world.
Yeah,
that's today. Then, as a midwife, you can get a job anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I suppose it's one of those professions that you go into and people always going to have babies.
That's right. And people out there producing them, don't worry about that.
That's it.
Me and you come from there. Listen, that's too deadly, my sister. Thank you for the yarn. Congratulations. Please do keep in touch. And I'd love to hear from you once you qualify, once you grad.
Definitely will do. Thank you very much for having me.
Too deadly. And big shout out to ACU, Australian Catholic University, and also AFB, and that's the Away From Base. And that lady who
Michelle Kozak.
Michelle Kozak. Kozak. Congratulations, Michelle. Fantastic program. And this young sister, Courtney, swears by it. Too deadly, sister. We'll yarn soon, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
All right. A beautiful yarn there with Courtney Pelajuma. She's a midwife, third year, and look, about to become a midwife and be a full-time job. Fantastic. And operating in a deadly space, another black success profession, which is great to see. And also the communication with her beautiful husband and her kids regarding taking this journey and surviving on one wage. When she starts working, there it is, two wages, and then it's looking roses, pretty roses for the future ahead. Fantastic. Have you saying yarn up strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. With the Bally Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. National Talk Black here at BBM, Bummer Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly.
Put my name on the throne, but for my people, give me a helicopter, a pterodactyl, you bring the doctor, take the capsule, fresh is too sharp like I eat flesh. I'm a T-Rex when the beat kicks, and my reflex is to crush this. Doesn't matter how fast you can run, kid. You messing with powers you can't, kid. Do you really think you should confront this? We just survive, we just survive. I don't know how we continue to cry. We keep on going like we cannot die. We keep on going, we're living alive. We just survive, we just survive. I don't know how we continue to cry. We keep on going like we cannot die. Carry the fire so we can survive. City lights in the loud bass, gotta stand up, fight back. When the hunters become hunted, poverty lines become funded. Billionaires with a million shares, market crushed the redundant. Top floor to the dungeon, wouldn't last a day in our shoes. What you know about living off the land, talking oceans and harpoons. Not fast cars, not cartoons, need to slow down on that fast food. Cause Lion Kings keep denying things, heard that from a little Zazu. Slipping beauty all up in the castle, like ugly truth, that thing gon' fall. And with no hesitation, they gon' blame the nation, so I guess I'm ready for war. We just survive, we just survive. I don't know how we continue to thrive. We keep on going like we cannot die. We keep on going, we're living alive. We just survive, we just survive. I don't know how we continue to thrive. We keep on going like we cannot die. Carry the fire so we can survive. City lights in the loud bass, gotta stand up, fight back.
My survivability now rests on the fact that I have to share that journey of surviving. Share it with those that are still struggling, trying to survive against the enormous odds of the vicious cycle, the merry-go-round of prisoners in and out of prison. The perpetual journey of going from one addiction to another.
We just survive, we just survive. I don't know how we continue to cry. We keep on going.
keep on going, we're living a lie. We just survive, we just survive. I don't know how we continue to thrive. We keep on going, love, we cannot die. Carry the fire so we can survive.
Goes on to the future of another day. Hey, all my boy, don't wait for someone else to say. Stay the same and remember the aim. What you're going for. So open your mind and live your dream. This is your destiny. Cause the sun will rise to bring another day. What you waiting for? Milena Rakoya Jalgiri Niranmina Waroyo Nara Rungina Walalili.
Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Don't give a damn if you don't like us.
50 on the wrist.
Money ain't a thing, we priceless.
When it comes to drip,
girl, you know that we the nicest.
Kiss the pinky ring.
Address me as your royal highness.
Man, I'm sick of the way that they talking. All the highways they say talk about is the same road that I'm walking. Can't hang around this chit chat cause it's only making me exhausted. I spit these bars, no Kit Kat, and I'm making moves so cautious.
Now back to back and I'm lit. Celebrating, I sip. Wavy, no rip. Watch your step and don't slip.
Why?
Miller style that I drip.
Okay.
With a bad chick on my hip. All my brothers with me, no click. And they hold that thing with a grip. Now I'm feeling myself when I step in the scene and I'm taking it over like ISIS. Back in my bag, coming in like a record ball, swinging it like Miley Cyrus. I'm gonna be popping and spreading around the whole world like coronavirus. I is the nicest, so priceless. And I don't give a F if you really don't like
don't
this.
Give a damn if you don't like us.
50 on the wrist.
Money ain't a thing, we priceless.
When it comes to drip.
Girl, you know that we the nicest.
Kiss the pinky ring.
Dress me as your royal highness.
Yeah.
Don't give a damn if you don't like us.
50 on the wrist.
Money ain't a thing, we priceless.
When it comes to drip.
Girl, you know that we the nicest.
Kiss the pinky ring.
Dress me as your royal highness. Yeah.
I got the world in my hands. I level up and elevate. I'm taking every chance. See, I'm making this change. I put on for my fam. I'm not into real estate, but I'm taking over this land. So stop sleeping on me. Heaping on me. These inner demons gon' fuck me up and it's creeping on me. Creeping on me. Parasites are attached to me and they feeding off me. Feeding off me. I got a gang of haters on keyboards and they speaking on me. Yeah, they speaking on me. But still I'm back with a hit. Putting in work and I'm cracking the whip. I risk it all for myself and my vision. Now I'm on a mission, I'm back in this shit. You ain't stopping me, stacking my chips. Came from the bottom, no cap in the bit. I seen it all ever since a little kid. Now I'm on the way to the top of the bit, top of the bit.
Don't give a damn if you don't like us.
50 on the wrist.
Money ain't a thing, we priceless.
When it comes to drip.
Girl, you know that we the nicest.
Kiss the pinky ring.
And dress me as your royal highness.
Nicest, and that's Jay Miller and featuring 13 here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yana Strong, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with Yana. We've got Selwyn on the line. Selwyn, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, hello, brother. 53 years ago, they just released a woman, Charlie Manson, the massacre that took place. They killed Sharon Tate, that actress.
Yes.
53 years ago, brother. And,
53 years ago.
50 years this year that the Australian soldiers were, what you call it, withdrawn from Vietnam 50 years ago. But I was in Darwin 74,
mm-hmm.
and there were a lot of white youth on the Asian hippie trail. They want to learn about this new teaching in East Asia. And the death of the hippie movement started about that time when Charlie Manson, they went on that killing spree, and I think they wanted to start a race riot because of it. But anyway, brother, the hippie movement,
flower power, they called it.
Of the white people, of the white youth at that time, especially American, they were dropping out from university and private colleges and all that. And they wasn't led by the lies that you are, but white old people were saying, you get a good education, you get a white picket fence, a mansion and a swimming pool, and you live happily ever after. That was what had a defined success at that time.
Mm.
There was a deem of a success. But at that time too, brother, 74, I worked for customs. I was clean skin. I had no criminal record then. We used to patrol Darwin Harbour, and I was a deckhand, and we used to patrol fast out. There's a crocodile called Sweetheart in the museum.
Well, Sweetheart.
They got it at Finnis River. Mm. We used to patrol the Finnis River, and well, there can be land claim at Cox Peninsula. We used to patrol there. But at that time, that was the death of the hippie movement, and that was a lie that, you know, that the white people at that time said that you don't live happily ever after. Even you get well educated, you know, and get the white mansion and the swimming pool and the the white picket fence and the swimming pool. But that was them times, what they deemed a success, brother. I just put a little bit in there. I don't know where I was going to go with it, but I want to give a take on my take on Q&A on Monday night with Richard Perkins' brother. And you know, the saying that silence is consent, and it's like an endorsement. And when she said that the voice won't have any opinion or something with the nuclear submarine, I felt a little bit no good there, brother, because you know, because Palm Island and its history and the history of Old Fair, brother, you know, where they got sent away, and I told you what that. Matola, the independent journalist, crossed my mind, found that the real reason why they wanted to remove out of Cape Breton was because there was an airstrip. There was an airstrip that the U.S. and on Palm Island, they had a U.S. base. I feel it's working, brother. They had a U.S. base. And, anyway, and she's from San Francisco. I think the Calcutta, I think, I'm not too sure. But at that time, Gough Whitlam, they sacked him. Brother, and there's a letter, you can Google the letter from Prince Charles to sack him. And I'm not too sure whether it was because he didn't want to extend the Pine Gap lease. It expired. But anyway, and it was the time that Gwynju, they gave him land rights. But I was wondering if they're going to get their land rights, and if he wasn't going to renew the lease, if Pine Gap with the Americans was going to lose Pine Gap, and it sort of shows to me the strength of the U.S. And I'm thinking about this voice now. And anyway, they sacked Whitlam, a Labour file, and Fraser got him, and he extended the lease for a peppercorn. He extended the lease. Now, I'm looking at this, the way this voice is going now, brother, and I'm looking at there seems to be a two-horse race, the LNP and the
Labour
mob. And they've forgotten all about the other no mob, the mob that I'm with. They forgot, they left them out. And I was wondering if that was just deliberate, they're just playing silly bugger. I'm getting a call. After they left them out, brother. Because what I was thinking of also on that, Rachel Perkins was talking. She said, "Oh, look at the other countries, you know, like Canada, New Zealand. They have a voice of the Constitution, something like that." And the sky didn't fall that, or whatever it is. But the thing is, what's different about the other country is a strategically Pine Gap. They don't have that in New Zealand or Canada. And when me and brother there, that lady from Reba, me and brother, he's a pastor up there now, brother, they're 18, 21, when we hitchhiked from Alice, and the railways was only from Adelaide to Alice, and from Darwin to Larimar, I think it was. Larimar, yeah. There was a gap way between, but that rail got built by... bugging me dead, of all people, Donald Rumsfeld, Halliburton. Halliburton, it was a subsidiary of Halliburton. They built that thing on there. And while we all, and she didn't want to discuss the submarine. And I'm wondering if it shows how powerful the Americans are. Nobody's talking about the Americans, brother. Nobody's talking about that. And
going under the radar.
They can shit on all the sovereignty. The white Australian, they had a voice in the parliament. They, I feel like, swearing again, brother, in the F word. They elected Whitlam, and they put him in there. But they bloody sacked him, and he had a voice in parliament, brother. And before Julian Assange and all the other followers that come after, Edward Snowden and all the other people that come after, there was a fellow called Crystal Voice. So if anybody watching... it's a movie based on Christopher Boyce, and it was selling secrets because he worked in Pentagon or somewhere. Have a look at that movie, The Falcon and Snowman. You can also go on YouTube and see his interview with the Australian fella, a foreign corporate or something, and see what he has to say that the U.S. influence in Australian politics, brother. Thank you very much, brother, for letting me have to say, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Take care. That's Selwyn, regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Got about 7 minutes left on the program. We're going to try and catch up with Sabine Hoeing, Yalanji Arts Centre Manager. And I believe we've got Sabine on the line. Sabine, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
We're from Mossman Gorge.
Yes. Mossman Gorge.
We're Yalanji artists.
Yalanji artists, yes. And you're the centre manager there, are you?
No, I'm one of the artists.
Oh, you're one of the artists, the okay.
Artists, yeah.
Did you attend CIAF this year, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair?
Yes.
How'd you enjoy that?
We enjoyed it. We loved every minute of it and just meeting a lot of other artists.
Was that your first time as an artist at CIAF?
No. This is not my first time. It's
good.
I've always had a passion to go to CIAF because I wanted to showcase all my artwork.
Yes.
So that people can be out there, be inspired by it and all the other artists too. So,
too deadly.
Yeah.
How long you been an artist, Sabine?
No, this is me, Lorna.
Oh, Lorna. Hey, it's Lorna. Lorna who? Lorna who?
Sorry.
Lorna who?
Hewan.
So you're an artist and you work, you do have your work there at the Yalanji Art Centre up in Mossman, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, now
and
I got
I'm
it.
I'm actually a traditional owner for the Mossman.
Well, there you go. Beautiful country. Beautiful country, traditional owner.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your beautiful country.
Yeah, no, I just love my art and I have a passion, great passion for it and I love to do my art about my country and my people. My
good,
family,
Lorna.
They inspired me.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Lorna, how long have you been an artist?
Oh, all my life.
All your life. That's beautiful.
This is a gift that I've been given
by
my grandparents.
Now, your art, are we talking painting or we're talking sculpture or what sort of art are we talking, sister?
No, we're talking about fabrics.
Ceramics, all right, beautiful. Fantastic. Yeah. So you're making a living out of it. It's a job now, is it?
Yeah, and I just love what I do.
Good on you.
Every day I just come to the arts and then do my, magic, you might say.
Magic. I love that. Magic.
Yeah.
There was a beautiful phrase by the world-famous artist. The world-famous artist was Vince Legault. Vince Gow, I think his name is. And people said to him, gee, you draw a beautiful painting. How did you do that? He reckoned, I dreamed my painting, then I painted my dream.
Yeah, well, that's exactly like
that's what you do.
All my paintings and whatever I do, ceramics and on my tiles, it's a dream, but it's also a dream come true because I've learned this from my past families
good.
I respect them for what they give me and where I'm the country that I am from.
Yeah. So you tell stories with your art?
Yes.
Good on you.
Yes.
My paintings,
my ceramics, my textile ceramics, they all come with a story and it's all about that country and what we do with our artwork. And I've got my own techniques, so that's important. Yeah. I'm on top of the world, Rob.
You're on top of the world. That's fantastic. I can feel it in your voice. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
What about your kids? You got kids? Have you got kids?
Yeah, I've got grannies.
You got grannies? So you're leading the way.
Yeah. And through my art, I pass it down to them. Because,
I was going to say that.
You know, they're our next generation in line.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
And it's important that we have to share art with them, and we may not be around.
Exactly. And they speak for you.
I want to leave that for my legacy to my great-grandchildren.
I got goosebumps.
And great-grandchildren.
Yes.
And my son,
Googa Yalanji woman, you're too deadly, sister.
Yeah, I am.
I'm a
strong Googa Yalanji woman and always will be.
Always will be. Fantastic. You're a beautiful country up that way. And where the rainforest meets the ocean, the Googa Yalanji land.
Yes. And we're thankful for that because... we thank them and have a lot of respect for all our elders.
Yeah,
today,
beautiful. Exactly.
Emerging because they're the ones that are important to us as artists and also our families.
Yeah, deadly. Well, I was up there last week having a cup of coffee with Brother Richard Birchall. And big shout out to Richard Birchall, deadly brother.
He's one of my nephews.
Well, he deadly brother.
he's a strong cultural man.
He is.
All my families are. Yeah.
Well, we're so proud of you. So proud of you, Lorna. Keep doing your work, my sister. We'll be in touch. And big shout out to Sabine. And big shout out to all the Cooker Yalanji artists up that way there at the Yalanji Art Centre, sister.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll say something language.
Yeah, go on, please.
Yuma Nigel Yundo. I said, I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon, for sure. Take care, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Diddly yarn, beautiful yarn. Lorna Hewan, her name is, artist up there at Yalanji Art Centre in Mossman Port Douglas, and fantastic. Cooker Yalanji Mob, and as she said, she's so excited about the work that she does, and she tells her story, so she leaves a legacy. Look, leading away, grandmother she is, and that she's using art as her vehicle, as her tool to inspire, to empower her children and the young ones up there, and also love and respect elders. She mentioned that, and she's an elder herself, so take a page out of her book. You mob, it's time for Trendy Trev to sign off. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black 1 hour program live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media 19.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS. Big shout out NERS. Thank you very much. Look, you mobs, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Yarn soon.